Oscar, if you don't like it, then you should concentrate on winning. Because the person at the end of the evening with the highest chip count will receive $500 to donate to the charity of their choice. And they will get a mini fridge, compliments of Vance Refrigeration. Yes. So, get your charities into Pam. I, for example, am playing for Comic Relief.
And that doesn't exist anymore.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss and Nick here with you once again. We're going to skip the bullshit. We're going to get right into it. The Giants are staring 1-5 in the face after quite possibly one of the more embarrassing losses in recent memory. And that includes Joe Judge quarterback sneaking it on third down from his own 2-yard line. Before we get into it, you know what you can do? Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars, whatever. You know the fucking deal. All right, let's get into it. To be honest, I'm going to throw this to you guys in terms of a decision-making of the structure of this podcast. Do we want to start with the overall direction of this team yet again for the 6th time in 7 years? Or do we want to just quickly break down everything that went wrong before we get into the direction of the team? Personally, I like the latter, so we can talk about the game, get it out of the way. So, all right, let's do it. Let's start with special teams. Thomas McGaughey has got to fucking go. I'm not even going to say his name for the rest of the podcast. He will be known as the Giants special teams coordinator. How this guy has survived, this is his 3rd head coaching regime, is beyond me. When something like that happens, the only thing that makes sense to me is that this is a decision that was not Joe Shane's call to make. Because if you survive 1, 2, and then get retained for a 3rd regime, something stinks. I'm sorry. The number of new faces that Joe Shane brought in for the front office, the number of new faces that Dable brought in for his coaching staff, and you're telling me that they couldn't find a special teams coordinator better than this guy? Dreadful, embarrassing. This is getting this one out of the way, not putting this one on Shane or Dable. The number of penalties that they took was embarrassing. They took a couple of holdings, Gary Brightwell running into the punter, which just, it was a straight shot. It wasn't even like he was contacted or pushed. He literally just ran straight on into the punter, gave him a 1st down. It is undisciplined. It's unwatchable. Eric Gray fielding punts, just another thing that I need to rant about, because why you're spending any draft capital on a guy who can't get snaps at running back when your number one running back goes down, yet he's out there fielding punts and can't fucking do that. What was the point, Joe? Seriously, what was the point? Wasted pick. I don't get it. It drives me fucking crazy. Back to the special teams coordinator. Every year, every regime that we've done this podcast through, every time the team is undisciplined, they're missing assignments, they're taking dumb penalties, what do we say? It's accountability and it goes to the coaching. Why he is still the coordinator is beyond me. The punter sucks. The coverage sucks. They're taking penalties that they have no business taking. The only bright spot is Graham Gano. That's it. And I know I have this, you know, shtick on Twitter about him being the greatest kicker in Giants history because he is, but he is the only bright spot. That is it. How they've retained the special teams coordinator this long is beyond me. And I pray that when you guys are listening to this on Tuesday morning, the Giants have put out a press release that he has been relieved of his duties. I don't get it. It just an embarrassing display on a night filled with embarrassing displays. Come on. I'm fired up. I'm angry. I'm going to need more than just apathy out of you, Weiss.
I know. I was just sitting there thinking to myself, we're doing this again, once again. Here we are, and it's October 2nd, and the Giants season
special
is
special teams. We're on special teams. We're on special teams. We're focusing on special teams.
I've never seen a kicking side, get a holding penalty
twice,
and then do it again, so twice, and then You know, last year, yeah, chalked it up to, you know, they just didn't have players that were capable of being special teams players. This year, it's like you said it, man, 4 years. I mean, you've been here since 2018. I can't even speak. Three different coaching staffs. I don't remember. Do you guys remember the last time you looked at the Giants special teams and was like, that's an area of weakness? Even when they had a fucking special teams coach as their head coach, that it wasn't the case. It's a disaster across the board. We'll talk about everything, but special teams, offensive line, quarterback play.
Yeah, you know, Nick, any thoughts on special teams before we fucking throw this unit in the garbage and move on to the next garbage unit?
It's all interconnected. What we're about to talk about with the rest of the team in this game, the preparation, the discipline, focus, these are non-negotiables. We were talking about this during the game. It is okay to lose. You are going to lose in the course of an NFL season. To lose like that because you're not even giving yourself a chance to win because you don't look prepared to play a football game, that's on everybody. That's not just the players. That's not just the coaching. That's everybody, that they think they can get away with playing like crap like this and still hanging around. And God bless Seattle for keeping them in this game. Seattle gave them a million chances.
They were begging. They took, two face mask penalties? They just gifted them first downs.
The one thing about Eric Gray, and this is what boggles my mind, is they started him as the returner throughout the entire training camp. He was the returner. For them to just give up on him after one mistake, it boggles my mind because, A, you blindly just put this guy as your returner. There wasn't really any competition. I mean, he was the starting returner for the Giants.
I don't even think he returned in college.
I'm just saying, like, this is what they did during the summer. And then after one mistake, you just pull the plug.
And the most egregious part about all of that is that you then stick Adoree Jackson back there, who
didn't even want to field punts. He wasn't even fielding a punt.
Exactly. It's going to be he was waving fair catch before the punt even hit its apex. They know. He's not in any danger of getting any yards back. He's just going to fair catch it. He's a veteran guy with an injury history. He's going to fair catch it, and that's going to be it. Especially when you take there's that aspect of it. And then the fact that he is probably your number one trade piece in terms of his contract, positional need for other teams in the league, and you're going to put him on punt return duty. Are you fucking kidding me? Seriously, what the fuck is that?
And he's making business decisions on defense, too.
Let's move to the defense because we're going to spend too much time on the offense anyway. The defense, they practice tackling drills all week in practice, still can't fucking tackle. Go figure. Unbelievable. Can't even do basic tackling.
Is that effort to you, or is it execution, or is it both?
Both. Because they get where they need to be, but they don't finish the play. They know what they need to do. They just don't. You tweeted it. Can Azeez finish one of these plays? Because that first half, he was getting there.
And
he
it's
was
more than
all
that.
Of Geno's ass.
It's more than that. It's you watched the Seahawks execute a running play. And there were plenty of points throughout this game where the tight ends and the offensive linemen that were pulling were at their assignment before the Giants defenders were even there. The Giants didn't have a chance. Like, these guys were at the place ready to block, and the holes were already there. They had no chance to get off the blocks and actually make a tackle. It is just and by the way, had 11 days to prepare for a team traveling across the country and a team with the 27th ranked pass defense.
And they were missing like four starters on offense.
Their offensive line was as banged up as the Giants. Yeah. So on defense,
left tackle too,
on defense, you know, it's been absolutely atrocious so far. I mean, I tweeted it out. The league is just wild, man. I mean, Wink went from fielding head coaching interviews to now he's on my hot seat. I mean, I do not understand how, if this continues, you can bring him back next year. I really don't. There's been no effort. Leonard Williams is a clown. The Bobby Okereke signing is looking worse and worse each week.
He's too consistent.
And once again, like, the only guys that I can like hang my hat on are Dexter Lawrence, who's just a constant force, Micah McFadden, who's being asked to do things that he shouldn't be asked to do and is still doing them to a competent degree, and the two rookie cornerbacks who just, they're not standing out. And, you know, part of that is them playing good ball, and part of that is game script too, because when other teams go up a gazillion points, they're not going to be throwing the ball anymore. So I don't really know what else to say about defense, but it's disgusting. I really did expect a much better performance this week against the banged up Seahawks offensive line. You know, Kayvon got home a couple times, once when the game was already over. Aziz looked decent, couldn't get home, but it's bad, man. I mean, they got some big money tied up in some of these guys, high draft capital, and it's looking real, real grim.
Yeah, they're not getting the impact from guys that they paid some big money to, and that's a problem. When you need to play on defense, you turn to the guys that, you know, you drafted high, you paid big money to. They're not getting it. The tackling is just an embarrassing. The Noah Fant thing was just so bad. Bobby Okereke misses a tackle. Then Adoree Jackson, like you talked about it, business decision. It's just pathetic. The angles on some of these run plays, Jason Pinnock,
it goes to show I'm done buying into training camp bullshit. I'm done. Yeah. All training camp. What were the two things that we heard? The first was on offense about how Darren Waller was Daniel Jones' favorite target. He was always open. He was always making plays. On defense, it was every single other player saying that Jason Pinnock was the most improved. He looked really good. The Giants might have found themselves a steal. Both busts 4 weeks into the season.
Yeah, they're the best way to sum up the Giants roster as a whole, specifically their defense. They're just losers, man. Like, this is they play with no heart. They play with no effort. There's no fight. There's no energy. I mean, you see Seattle running around. I mean, you saw Dallas in week one, that energy. You know, forget about the talent for a second. It's like the energy is not there with this defense specifically. Where are the dogs? Where are the guys that are, you know,
the only dog is Micah McFadden.
Like, where is that? Where is that fire? Where is that? You know what? I'm gonna be aggressive. I'm gonna go after you. Like, Leonard Williams commits personal foul penalties, but is asleep the rest of the game. Like, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about guys that are in your face that are going to be, you know, going at it. They just don't have that fire. They don't have that dog on defense, and it's showing. I mean, they're just pathetic. Xavier McKinney, this is supposed to be leaders on your defense that are not making any plays. Yeah, you got into Geno Smith's face, and I think maybe Geno thought it was Xavier McKinney that made that tackle on the sideline, but again, like, there's just no...
That was the only time that I noticed Xavier McKinney during the game.
Yeah, there's just nothing from this defense that's like, you know, it's just a bunch of losers. I mean, that's the best way I can shape it up for you. It's a bunch of losers. They dance down 21-3, making a tackle for a loss. I mean, give me a break. What are you doing? Have some awareness. You're down 21-3. They're playing four backup linemen. They're still running up your throat. Congratulations, you made a tackle for a loss. Thank you. It's just pathetic. This is just, like I said, it's a bunch of losers, man. That's the only way I can describe it. It's loser behavior. They have no self-awareness. They have no, they can't execute. We can talk about Wink. Go ahead, fire Wink. But these type of loser players, nobody can win with them. I'm sorry. That's how I feel about it. And I'm not excusing Wink Martindale at all either. I'm just saying. This is the mindset that these guys have. I don't care who the defensive coordinator is.
It is insane how much money McKinney cost himself in a year and a half. Yeah. We were talking about long-term extension right before he broke his hand. He broke his hand, and he's been a non-factor this year. He has been an absolute non-factor.
He's a loser player. He's a loser player.
I would argue that he has. I would argue he has been a factor in the negative way.
Yeah,
like he.
He's missing tackles too.
Yeah. Yeah. Every single player.
He's supposed to be the guy that's supposed to help him cover tight ends. Remember? That's supposed to be his job. How's that working out? Again, look, talk about any coach you want to talk about. You know, these are loser players on this defense right now, and they have no self-awareness, and it's showing on the field. And all you got to do is look at the other side. Look how Seattle's running around the field.
Flying. And by the way, I mean, whatever. Let's go to the offense.
No, go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, It's a twofold thing. And again, another thing that I tweeted out, it's an indictment on both sides of the ball. How many times has Pete Carroll wound up on the coward index for putting his special teams out there in fourth and short situations, either to punt because he's so old school that he's just playing field position, or kicking field goals because he's a fucking loser and that's what he does? I mean, it's like every week.
That's what
it's like every week. I'm watching the Seahawks, and it's just poor analytical decisions. That's how bad the Giants are. He had fourth and one, and he went for it. He didn't get it.
He threw the ball, too.
Yeah, but he was like, yeah, you know what? These guys are really freaking bad. I'm just going to go for it. That's how bad. Pete Carroll, one of the most conservative head coaches in the league, going for it on fourth and short against your pathetic group. That's where we're at. Pete Carroll is going for it. That's where we're at.
They're losers. The Giants defense is full of losers. There's no other way to explain it. They're just loser players. Bunch of losers to celebrate tackles for a loss down 21-3.
Yes. All right, offense.
I don't know what they're doing, man.
Where do you want to start?
Offensive line is the easiest place to start. Bobby Johnson better be strapped to the same rocket that the special teams coordinator is strapped to, because again, just another guy, it doesn't make sense retaining. Listen, I don't think that anyone on this podcast, and probably 97% of Giants fans, would agree that this season is over. They are staring 1-5 in the face. They're going up against Miami, Buffalo. There's no coming back from this. Like, the season's over. It's October 2nd, October 3rd when you're listening. Season's over. It does not matter. Fire him. Get rid of him. Because, and I'm willing to admit that my draft capital take on the OL was overstated, because they've spent a lot of picks on mid-round guys. But you look around the league, and even the most beat-up offensive lines still manage positive yardage plays.
Yes. They can still, Seattle today in the second half.
That's exactly where I'm going. Seattle did it. Why can't the New York Giants? Josh Azudu was getting his fucking ass kicked. Evan Neal, I mean, listen, I'm not a coach.
He's a bust. He's a bust.
Hold on. I'm not a coach. Even I could see how poor the technique was on every single passing block. It was atrocious all the way around. I mean, I do not know what other recourse you have other than to get rid of Bobby Johnson, because at least if you bring in another offensive line coach, coordinator, consultant like the Giants did previously, at least you can give these fucking guys a chance to improve. Right now, they have no chance. None. They're ducks in the water. They're fucking disco balls in the desert in a war. Like, I don't know how else to say it. They have no chance with Bobby Johnson coaching them. And that much is apparent. Just pull the plug, rip the Band-Aid off. Let's get this over with. The season's over. Just fucking do it.
And that's the good point. You raise a great point there, that if we're looking at this, that they're going to be 1-5 when we're done with this rough stretch of the schedule here, then you're getting started on next year. It's not about the rest of this year. And you have to start worrying about next
year. You have to know if any of these guys have potential.
Yeah, you really can't afford to waste another season. And that's been the biggest issue we've had over the last 3-4 years with the organization, is the sheer volume of unknowns, the guys they've brought in, where the situation has been bad and you can't get a great read on them. They haven't gotten a ton of opportunity. They haven't stayed healthy. Whatever modifier you want to use for an excuse as to why they haven't performed well or developed at all. At some point, you know, these guys are what they are. The longer guys take to develop, the less likely they are to reach that ceiling.
Daniel Jones conversation we had last week.
Yeah, and it's true of every position. You think about some of these offensive linemen, where guys like Shane Lemieux and Matt Peart, they're not NFL players, but the Giants don't have anyone else. And they've been throwing shit at the wall for the better part of 2 or 3 years with those guys now, with the logic, well, we already spent these assets and we already have them. We might as well try and find out what they are. And they stunk. They unplayable. The offensive line was so bad tonight, the rest of the team could not function. Because even if you want to give the defense a little bit benefit of the doubt that, well, they know they're going to be on the field the entire game, that they're going to make business decisions. It's hard to play with a high motor knowing you're going to be on the field that much. If that's going to be the case, you need to find a way to manufacture bullshit offense. There are teams that manufacture bullshit offense every single week, with quarterbacks less physically talented than Jones, with skill position groups comparable to what the Giants are. Your offensive line being this bad cannot be the reason. There are teams with bad offensive lines. You have to be able to find a way to do anything. And I think it was Dan was tweeting during the game that all these underneath throws all you're doing is setting up the Seattle secondary to come crashing down, go for the big hit. They don't respect you to take a shot because they know you don't trust your offensive line, and you become what happened tonight, where Jones got sacked 11 times. Jones got his shit rocked. There's no way to describe. There's no denying that the offensive line is the reason the offense was as bad as it was tonight. But at some point, you gotta find something. These are professional athletes, and these are professional coaches. They did the same thing the entire game. There was no, oh, let's try and do this to get someone in space. Let's try something to tendency break. Let's try a double pass. It was just first down run, second down run. All right, it's third and seven. Let's hope Jones doesn't get killed. And that was the entire game.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost as if the Jets and the Giants did a little Freaky Friday. Like, the Jets defense coming into this week, demoralized, ready to give up because the offense was so putrid under this quarterback, put up an unbelievable performance and probably should have beat the Chiefs. Meanwhile, the Giants, the exact opposite. So, totally embarrassing. You can't fix this. Like, the current situation is what it is, and it's only going to get worse as more guys get banged up, as more guys get demoralized. So buckle up, Buttercup, because this is going to be a fucking rough one.
Weiss. I have a big picture question for Nick, both of you off of us. Ahead. A big picture question. Do you think the fact that a lot of the team that was so good last year in all these close games, the fact that a lot of those guys just didn't have NFL experience, they had a little bit of that dumb person mentality of, oh, this isn't that hard. Look at us. We keep winning all these games because they hadn't been in those types of situations before. And now you're in an adverse situation. And a lot of these guys have never been in an adverse situation in the NFL before. And that's why it feels like it's snowballing so dramatically.
It's snowballing. It's snowballing because last year there was no expectation. Like,
exactly.
Nobody cared if Leonard Williams got idiotic personal foul penalties. We were just looking at it. Let's just get the season over with and, you know, take the lump, right? And they had an easier schedule. This year with expectations, we're seeing the true colors of these players. And the reality is they're just not good. They're not winning players. And it's showing week in and week out. They make plays to lose games. They commit penalties to lose games. They can't tackle. It costs them games. Their offensive line. And the thing about Bobby Johnson is, you know, there's nobody walking through that door that's going to make the Giants offensive line good all of a sudden. But you got to kick somebody out of the room when you're giving up 11 sacks, 9 sacks, 7 sacks in 3 or 4 games. Like, somebody has to leave. You know, somebody has to lose their job. And, you know, you got all these young linemen. They haven't developed. Not a single one you can point to and say that guy is good. The one free agent signing, Mark Glowinski, was brought in because of Bobby Johnson's work with him in Indianapolis. How's that signing worked out? So, big picture, I think the one thing, if you want to look at it and you want to put blame on Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, maybe they misevaluated last season.
Well, 3 minutes ago from Jordan Ron on, Brian Daboll says there won't be any staff changes or significant personnel changes.
Yeah, well, they're going to continue to lose games.
I mean, yep.
Daboll can say that, whatever, but they're losers.
Sorry to interrupt again, Weiss. Eric Armstead of the 49ers just tweeted out, Daniel Jones, I am so disappointed in you. Why would you throw the ball so quick versus us and then let these people have a career day? Why weren't we deserving? This is DeMarcus Lawrence all over again. This is DeMarcus Lawrence thanking the fucking football gods that he gets to play against Eli and
offensive line. How about this one? Eric
Armstead is embarrassing.
As an all-pro player, Devin Witherspoon, a rookie, said,
it doesn't matter. It's the principle of it all. Him, yeah, he's openly talking shit on Twitter now.
This is what a rookie corner said. We knew he liked to stare down his first target. Openly saying that. It's openly bashing you as a quarterback. This whole thing is a disaster. And we can talk about the quarterback, but from an offensive line perspective, Bobby Johnson is asked to get kicked out of the room. That's step one.
Do you think that this this is the first time we've really seen Dable frustrated to the point where he's kind of, he doesn't even like blow up at Jones, like just throwing the iPad aside and shaking his head like there's nothing I can fucking do with this guy. What am I supposed to do? He can't read a basic defense. I don't know if I've ever seen a head coach, let alone a Giants coach, do something to that effect, because they've always tried to, they've been very careful with Jones from the mindset of, we know he's kind of a certain type of way, we got to handle him a certain type of way. And in the past, Dable's done that by getting in his face, yelling at him, throwing shit. And this is, Dable threw his hands up and said, I can't do anything with this. This game is over. And then they still have to play another quarter and a half because Wandale's open, Waller's open, and he's forcing the ball to Paris.
Hyatt's open.
Hyatt's, I do, Witherspoon was right. They, other teams know because he doesn't.
By the way, why is Paris Campbell the first read? By the way. Brother, I'd love to fucking know. Sorry, Nick, go on.
It's just at some point you're waiting for some one of these adults in the room. We spent all of last year saying that Dable and that coaching staff was worth 2 or 3 points every single week because they were finding ways to eke out value against teams or finding good situational football. And all of the little things that were good about this team last year, they just aren't there. There is no situational awareness. I think they're second in the league in penalties. They just look unprepared to play football every week. Like they just show up whenever they're playing Sunday, Thursday, or Monday, and they're playing. It doesn't look like they practice during the week. Like we spent the entire summer, Darren Waller getting 12 of the 15 targets during the open throwing session. What do you have? 2 targets tonight? Jalen Hyatt, nowhere to be found. Wandale, I want to say, had 2 or 3 targets. I understand you don't trust your passing game. You got to find a way to get your ball to your playmakers because they're going to get Jones killed. And I'm not saying that, you know, that's going to be the difference between them winning or losing. But at some point, this becomes a matter of like respect, just being able to field a competitive football team. This was humiliating in a different kind of way than watching Jake Fromm QB sneak on third down. But yes, you get Jones killed, you're going to be in that type of situation very soon.
I don't really know what to say about that. I really don't. Like I'm speechless. Like you're not wrong. And part of me, I've said this to you guys. If it's 1-5 and you're in full tank mode, Daniel Jones gives you the best chance to lose.
I think that's an interesting debate. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that because he finds ways to just his mobility gives you more than Tyrod does. And that alone is worth a little something. But
can Tyrod get past his first read? I would like to think so.
Tyrod can't stay alive long enough to get past his first read. At least.
Yeah. As long as the Giants medical staff is not injecting his lung by accident.
Oh, I mean, this sucks so bad.
I mean, this is like, you know, I feel like you're right, Nick. It is a different type of embarrassing because at least under the Joe Judge Giants, everyone knew it was embarrassing. It was more of the Zach Wilson embarrassing. It was like, oh, man, like I do feel a little bad. Like these guys have no chance. Now it's like they're laughing at us. Like they're openly mocking you. Like it's different, but it's almost worse. I think it is worse.
The Daniel Jones experience is, this was year 6, right? It's the same conversation.
Year 5.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Year 5. It's felt like 50 years, but I mean, you know, outside of last year, it's the same conversation. Him continuing to make some of these mistakes, the offensive line, and
I mean, this is what I was saying weeks ago, and for some reason I was getting shit on Twitter about it. There, you listen, this offensive line is dreadful. It's probably definitely the worst unit in the league as currently constructed, with no Andrew Thomas, with Evan Neal at right tackle, even with JMS at center. Like, this is the worst offensive line in the league. I don't think anyone is going to debate that. If you want to debate 32nd versus 30th, go fuck yourself. I don't care. Yeah. So it's the worst unit in the league. But when he has time, He has not made a single play that mattered with his arm. And the same thing happened tonight. He had numerous plays, including the 97-yard pick six, where he had multiple guys open in the end zone. He does not go through his progressions. And here's the thing, okay? If you are still in that Daniel Jones camp of, well, listen, like, the guy could be good if everything around him is perfect, stop. That's not a guy you want quarterbacking your team. You do not want a quarterback in that tier as your starting quarterback, okay? The other camp is, well, he had the potential, but this offensive line broke him. Guess what? I don't give a fuck. If he's broken, sorry, he's broken.
Something is broken, you have to replace it, right?
Exactly. You don't. there's some things that, right, Weiss, you're a car guy. It's like a car. Yeah. If the car is a piece of shit and you need a new engine, you just go get a new car. You don't pay to replace the engine. You just go get the new car. You pay up and you do what you got to do to get the new car.
Your, okay? Your car's been in too many accidents. Eventually, you got to replace it, right?
You got a 97 Corolla. You don't replace the engine. You go out, you get a new Camry. Okay. You throw it away. It's done. I'm sorry. Listen, is there an alternate universe where this works out and he's some top 10, top five quarterback? I don't think so, but if you want to believe that, that's fine. But come my reality, which is the reality of the situation, if you thought he could be good, I don't want him as the quarterback. If you thought he could be good, but now he's broken, I don't want him as my quarterback. If you thought he stinks and now it's fully on display, he stinks, it's time to move on. And I would love to have been a fly on the wall to understand how this entire contract situation broke down, who the voices in the room were, who were the advocates, who wanted the franchise tag versus the contract. I'm very, very curious how it broke down, because since we don't have any other information, we have to assume that Joe Shane was advocating for some type of contract and it has blown up in his face. And we've said it repeatedly. Listen, there's an out after year two, but you know what? The hindsight's 2020, but this is what I had been saying. I think you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. I was a full advocate of the 1 year franchise tag. Let me see it again. I actually think that was exactly my take. Do it again. Let me see it. And then I will gladly pay you. You could go back and listen. This is verbatim what I said. It's all coming back to me. Franchise tag, show it again. And I will gladly pay the extra $10 million a year premium for that starting top 10 caliber quarterback. And now what? The Giants are 1-5. You're sitting there in the middle of October, getting ready for Halloween, shoving your face full of candy, watching the Bears, watching the Cardinals, watching the Panthers, hoping that these other teams who historically have been just as big a fuck up as your team fuck up worse and win more meaningless games so that you can luck into the next Patrick Mahomes and Caleb Williams. Like, that's where we're at. So, and here's the thing. The other argument, which was always Will's argument, which is probably the correct argument, was just go with the stopgap. Go get a Mitch Trubisky. Go let Tyrod Taylor start. Like, this year doesn't matter, right? It's year three, year four, year five. At this point, it's year five based on what we're seeing. And now you're going to have to worry about dead Daniel Jones money in year three of this deal if you decide to move on. And the awkward situation of, if you do land a Caleb Williams, well, now you have a guy that you just spent six overall on, paid $40 million, and now he's riding your bench.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to land Caleb Williams.
Dude, were we watching the same game tonight? This team is, especially if they encounter even a couple more key injuries, this is a team very capable of losing out the division. I mean, the Cowboys and the Eagles are going to fucking stomp them. The way the Commanders have been playing, I thought that they would sweep the Commanders. The Commanders are going to sweep them. At this point in the season, tell me confidently that this team can win more than three games.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think the conversation about, to me, it's not about Caleb Williams. The problem is how the Giants put themselves in this situation.
Of course it is. But we're talking about the quarterback.
If they have the number one pick, they're going to draft the quarterback. If they have the number two pick, they're probably going to draft the quarterback. That's not, I don't think anybody is debating that. I think the problem is that how they got to this point. You know, you paid this guy $160 million, gave him a $160 million contract.
Well, that's part of the argument I just made. It's the evaluation. They didn't do a proper evaluation. They let this guy fucking sling it and ball out against shitty defenses and then decided to pay him before he proved anything.
To me, it's...
Tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're
the Vikings were like the 31st ranked pass defense. They went 12-4. Like, come on, the Colts.
See, I don't think the conversation with Daniel Jones now is no longer about if he's worth the contract. I think we're in agreeing that this is not working out, right? Even though it's not all his fault, it's not working out. The problem is, how do the Giants allow themselves to get bamboozled into this? And how do we...
That's what I started with. I want to be a fly on the wall. I need to know who the advocates were, who the dissenting voices were. I need to understand how that entire situation went down.
Because when you get bamboozled, like how you and I and Nick probably think they got bamboozled, what gives you any hope that they can get it right?
This is a
massive mistake. This is bigger than, you know, whiffing on the seventh
pick, led astray
on the draft pick,
run amok,
yeah,
and flat out deceived.
I understand getting out of it after year two and all those conversations, but this is, somebody has to answer for this. Like, I'm not saying, you know, people need, like, we need to fire everyone, but like, what went wrong here? How did you misevaluate this whole thing? Go ahead, Nick.
So my rough hypothesis is they thought they were a lot further along than they actually were. They bought their own hype on last year. They felt they trusted their coaching staff that if we can get Jones to be 10, 15% better than he was last year by giving him just a little bit better weapons, we'll be right back in the mix for that wild card spot. Maybe we luck into a more favorable matchup in the divisional round. We'll take those chances. I think they really believed in the coaching staff. I feel like the coaching staff felt reasonably okay with this, because if they didn't, I think you would have seen a more stringent or more aggressive push to something a little more flexible, that if it didn't work, or that they didn't believe in Jones entirely, or if you want to say they were a little bit hamstrung because of the situation with the running back, where they felt they needed to keep both guys because of how well last year went. Well, I think it's probably
downright embarrassing.
It's probably all interconnected, in all honesty. I do think that them prioritizing wanting to build off of last year and largely keep the same group together was part of the decision-making process. And we all said, hey, that team got really lucky last year. We're more likely to lose more games this year than they did last year, purely based on just luck. And now you're looking at a team like, there's a real argument the Giants are the second or maybe even the worst team in all of football right now.
I agree.
You can certainly make the case. They certainly, I mean, 11 sacks, it's, this whole thing is just, it's a disaster, man. I'm really shell-shocked that we are here once again in October.
How long have we been doing this podcast, Weiss?
Since 2015.
Some things change, some things stay the same.
Here we are. I audibly gasped when he let go of the ball, because I saw Witherspoon breaking on it. Like, I gasped like I was in the theater when Lincoln got shot. I audibly gasped because nobody makes that. A 10-year-old playing Madden doesn't make that fucking mistake to throw back across their body.
Here's a stat for you. Before this week, only Deshaun Watson had a higher percentage of throws to their first read than Daniel Jones. And Jones has been extremely inefficient on throws to his first read. So he can't even throw efficiently to his first read. Forget about him, you know, throwing to his first read. He can't even do that efficiently. So it's a mess, man. It's a mess. You got players openly coming out saying that, you know, he's staring down his receiver. It's broken quarterback, not good enough, whatever you want to sum it up as. This experience, this Daniel Jones experience, how do I want to describe it? Hasn't been good, obviously, but where it's headed, headed toward the end, even though he was given the contract. I mean, they continue to lose games. That conversation of quarterback and, you know, taking a quarterback, like, it's only going to increase. So, stunning. Can't believe we're here again, man. It's crazy.
I'm speechless. I mean, during the season preview, I spoke about the spectrum, right? Like, I spoke about...
I mean, he threw the ball right to Devin Witherspoon. I mean, he threw it right to him. Like, it wasn't a tip pass. It wasn't a You know, defender in his face. He dropped back to throw and he threw it right to Devin Witherspoon. I don't know what else, like.
And something else I wanted to say, I don't think Andrew Thomas and Saquon playing in this game makes a huge difference.
It makes really zero difference.
I really don't.
I mean, if you can make that argument, but the Seahawks will turn around and tell you, hey, man, if we had Charles Cross and we had, you know, our two guards and go down, we're winning this game. This is. The Seahawks knew, like, they were up when they went up 14-3. They knew this game was over. They knew the Giants were not going to have two scoring drives on them, and they just pinned their tails back and they got after the quarterback and it was over. And it's a problem. And listen, this offense is a mess. I really don't want to spend the next 3 months debating Daniel Jones's future, but I feel like that's what the rest of the
season. That's where we are, bro. It's the most important position in professional sports, not just football.
If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a team.
I know what you're saying. Like I'm with you guys. I just
it's draining. It's draining.
It's not even Halloween yet.
Yeah.
Bro, it's October 3rd.
It was 80 degrees outside today. I'm still wearing shorts.
Same.
Do you feel bad for the people involved in this situation?
Giant fans.
Exactly.
Seeing them on TV screen, seeing those Giant fans, young, old, male and female, just so upset. I mean, it hurt me more than anything else. No, I don't feel bad for Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones makes a lot of money. He'll be okay. No, I don't feel bad for Brian Daboll. No, I don't feel bad for any other player. I feel bad for Giant fans who pay their money. And once again, here we are, losers again. You know, we came into this thing talking about, hey, can we compete with Dallas and Philadelphia and San Francisco?
We can't even compete with the Bears.
Yeah. We can't even compete. I mean, you said the Bears. I mean, Seattle, we don't belong in the same field with them.
Can they beat a CFL team?
I saw more than one friend of mine. Can their
offensive line block CFL defensive line? That's the question.
I don't think so.
In regards to the team being so just, where do you think this malaise is coming from where everybody just looks so, I don't want to say disinterested, but there's just no fight at all. I mean, they rolled over.
When you've been losing the majority of your career, you are a loser. Like the coaching staff deserves some blame. You had 11 days to prepare for this, right? Come on. Like, this is the product. But it's execution, man. Like, missed tackles like that, like, they're just losers. Like, this is what they are. Like, Xavier McKinney has been here for, 3 years. He's a loser. Aziz Ojulari is a loser. These are guys that have not played in tough games for the outside of one season last year where it's a high-octane game and they need the pressures on them. They haven't played in that. And even in those games last year, like it was a big game for the Giants in terms of playoffs and all that, but it wasn't like pressure on them because they had exceeded expectations. There were no expectations.
House money.
Now that you have expectations, you're seeing it. What is Wink Martindale says? Pressure breaks pipes. Well, that's exactly what's happening to the Giants. Like, the pressure is on for them to win games, to close gaps with other elite teams, and they're just not good. They're not good enough. Pipes are breaking. They're a bunch of losers. And hopefully Joe Shane and Brian Daboll and whoever else is making decisions on this roster come together and understand that sometimes you got to just tear it all down. And there's a lot of guys that they kept, some guys that they paid that are not as good or as great as we thought they were. And the reality of the situation is they misevaluated what happened last season. And it was a mirage, and that's why they're, you know, where they are right now and headed for, you know, more losing because everyone knows what's coming up on their schedule.
Pretty much.
I'm genuinely worried about what this team's going to look like by mid-November if this is the effort in October. Same. I mean, they've phoned in some games. I mean, there was that one game against the Rams a couple years ago where the Rams hung like a 60 spot on them at MetLife. Yeah,
51-17 in the
Rams. Yeah, nobody wanted to make a tackle. Nobody wanted to try. And that was, you know, middle November. So I mean,
the approach would be right now is you have to, like, I mean, at 1-3, you're going to I wouldn't do this, but they're going to give them the next two games. Once you fall to 1-5, which was where they're headed, you then have to sit down and have those conversations about, we have to start, you know, shedding some salary, getting rid of these guys that are in the final year of their deal that we have no business bringing, that we're not going to bring back. Adoree Jackson, Leonard Williams, and obviously Saquon Barkley. Those conversations you have to have.
Xavier McKinney.
So once you start having those conversations and you start shedding some of those players that have quote unquote talent, and you start playing more and more backups, then the losing piles up, and then Ethan and you, me and you, and we get our wish and we lose and we have the number one pick, and you know, it was all a master plan. Like, but you have to have those conversations eventually. You have to talk, you have to have those difficult conversations. The quarterback and, you know, all those difficult conversations, those you wait until the end of the season when you have more clarity. But in the immediate future, they fall to 1-5, which I think all three of us think they will. You start, you know, making calls, becoming sellers, and see if anybody will take any of these guys that you have on your roster that are no part of your future.
Or were, you know, part what, of your you future, know, this, you know what this is comparable. Are. You know what this is comparable to, in my eyes. You know, you
the
know
Mets.
My
the Mets
no,
this
no.
year.
No, shut up. Fucking
I was thinking that
Bozo
a little bit.
Cash
I was thinking
boom.
That a little bit. I won't lie.
No, stop.
No, it was. It. I'm not saying that in a hurtful way. I think that's what it was.
Based on the question I asked you guys earlier, where they kind of didn't, they'd never been in a winning situation before, kind of like the Mets last year. They got very comfortable because they were a good team. And then they came in the training camp. Everybody's all buddy-buddy. We're good. We're going to be fine. And they ran the bases the worst of any team in the league. They can't feel the ground.
All right, so listen, the Mets suck. The Mets suck. Do the Mets have prospects to be excited about? Yes. Do they still have star players who played well? Yes. Are they going to be good in another year or two? Yes. The Giants, we can't say the same thing. The point that I was making is my Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts analysis of, well, we don't know. We can't say that they're bad because all they've been is good, even though they have a really good roster. The Giants stink. They have a really bad roster. And until I'm shown otherwise that Chris Mara or John Mara were meddling and had some say, this entire mess is on Joe Shane and Brian Daboll until further evidence is produced.
Yeah, there's enough blame to put on everybody. Like, it's like... You know,
100%. I'm just saying. Listen, like for years, we shit on Gettleman and we were correct. Right now, this team is dreadful. They miscalculated in the worst possible way. And right now, this falls squarely on the head coach and the general manager for both the coaching staff, the roster decisions, the contract decisions, the draft capital used on some of these guys. It's been a dreadful job. And it needs to be said. This is awful. And the blame falls on them.
I want to see, they're 2 years into it, so it's tough to make an evaluation on a full evaluation after just two. It hasn't even been a two.
Not season. Really. You can make the evaluation on direction, right? We knew from day one that the direction that Dave Gettleman was.
That's where I was going. Is
go ahead,
you can look at the decision to pay the quarterback and, like, you know, that's like you. That's my whole point, is they misevaluated, you know, last year, and that's what's cost them. You know, what they did last offseason was the right thing when we think about it, right? Like, they, you know,
stopgap players, vet minimum players, right, exactly. Let's just get through the year. And they overperformed.
They overperformed, won a playoff game, and then, you know, they bought into that. I think they messed up now. And the question now is, and maybe you guys can help me out, is this a bump in the road, pretty significant bump in the road, or is this the beginning of the end?
No. That's a good question.
You know, and what I mean, beginning of the end, I'm not saying they're gonna make changes at the end of the year. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that we point to this second off season
as the downfall.
I think because I've understood the thought process. I think that most of the decisions I can understand, even if I didn't necessarily agree with them. I think they have shown a willingness to admit when they've been wrong. They're eating Leonard Williams' money. They are probably going to end up trading a lot of these expiring contracts.
They didn't Saquon a long-term deal. Yeah, like, I get it. I agree with your point.
I think based on that, it's for now at least a bump in the road. But we talked about this coming into the season. They signed a lot of guys to short-term, one-year, two-year things, because they're still going to turn over a lot of this roster. The building blocks, there's only a handful of guys you know are going to be on this team beyond the next 2 years. Aside from Dexter Lawrence, Andrew Thomas, Deontay Banks, that's really Kayvon. It. As Kayvon, if he can maybe make some more
Kayvon,
plays. But
yeah, Kayvon is on that conversation yet. Good player.
We got to see more from him. Yeah, I would like to see more from him. But
his arrow
we're only talking about that. Five guys.
Not like
we're that. Talking about yeah. five, six guys on an entire team that are real building blocks. So I don't think you can say downfall when they still realistically got to do more building, frankly. Yeah. I don't know if
you it's can not say either. That, yet. I don't, it's not either. That's the thing. It's not the downfall, but it's not a bump in the road because now it's like,
is it a crossroad?
It's not a crossroad. It's like you just drove your car into a ditch because that's where they are. They're in a ditch. And now it's like we've been talking. Since the start, year three. It's not year three anymore. It's just not based on the misevaluation was that bad.
Well,
we're looking at year four or five.
The reality situation is they got to figure out the quarterback situation.
Yeah. I mean, listen, could be worse. I mean, look across town. Look at the Jets. I mean, the Jets fucked up their quarterback calculations. They took Zach Wilson. He turned out not to be the guy. And Joe Douglas is still there. They still managed to build a good team. They just haven't figured out the most important part. I mean, Joe Shane,
I don't want to. I don't want to be the Jets.
Well, no. I mean, listen, the Jets have a good roster minus the quarterback. They got way more building blocks than the Giants do right now.
But, sure, but I still would. To me,
okay, I understand. It's
Zach Wilson's put together three better quarters than Daniel Jones has.
Yeah. Yes, he has.
Zach Wilson finally took accountability yesterday. Now everyone wants to pat him on the back for being a professional. Okay.
Yeah. Even though he still would have gotten fucking clobbered even if he took the snap, but yeah. I digress.
Fumbled the snap and cost him the game, but yeah.
Okay. He had a free rusher in his face, but, and the refs cost him. But anyway, I mean, like were far worse ways that they could have fucked this up that would definitely put them in downfall territory, but it's not a bump. This is not a bump. This is not like whoopsie, next year will be good. No, this is like, okay, this sucks. Our players suck. Our coaching staff is filled with guys who have no clue how to coach up players. Now, okay, where do we go from here? Year four, year five.
Let's figure out the quarterback situation.
I think we already know. I think the fact that we're in year five and we don't know.
We know about Daniel Jones, right?
Right. Now we need to find the guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what this whole thing is going to be tied to.
Well, I don't think you're not going to know that for at least like 2 years from now. Like, it depends on you picking the draft, what kind of situation you put him in.
Yeah, you can say that. But like right now you look at CJ Stroud, you're like, okay, like this has been in a really impressive 4 weeks. Like, I'm very confident we can build around this guy. Yeah. Anthony Richardson, a very impressive three games. Like, I think we can build around this guy.
It's not even about that. To me, it's about, okay, if you realize you messed up with Daniel Jones and you go draft the quarterback, then it's like, okay, we get it. You messed up. You're not drafting a guy. We're not going to expect results immediately. We know how quarterback development works. But if you say, no, we're still confident in Daniel Jones, then that's a different conversation. So based on what decision you make is what reaction you're going to get. So it's not a situation.
Also, keep in mind, Brian Daboll is the worst liar on the planet. So he very well could fire the coaching staff, Bobby Johnson, the special teams coordinator, tomorrow. He could go the entire season saying that he still believes in Daniel Jones and then draft a quarterback first overall. So,
okay. Question number one, rank the pending free agents and likelihood of being traded.
Oh my God. Go ahead.
Well, do we have a full list?
So Leonard Williams, Adoree, Saquon, those are the guaranteed three. And then
Adoree's number one.
Yeah. Adoree's going to have a market.
Bills just lost Tre'Davious White.
Yeah.
He's a Bill.
He can play the slot too, the expiring contract, still young player too. He's only like 28, 29 years old. So
yeah, he's number one for sure. I don't know if are they going to be able to move the Leonard Williams money?
If they eat some of it, maybe they can get a late round pick. It's the Leonard Williams disaster. That is.
I'll put him number two.
They'll make a documentary on that one day.
Yeah.
Legalized bank robbing. He's the best.
McKinney and Saquon 3-4. I don't see them being moved as much as I'd like.
The Saquon conversation they have to have, and they should move them.
They should. They're not going to.
There's
going to
be
a market for them. I don't think they will.
They should. They're not going to.
Is there, though? Like,
yeah, I think so. If he comes back healthy, expiring contract, $5-6 million left.
Who's going to trade for him?
Somebody will take him. There's a team that's, you know, competing. Miami, if they, you know,
strike out. No, dude, they got a chain and Mostert. They're fucking fine. They're flying. Well,
what are the teams that are in the market for Jonathan Taylor? Those teams will be, if Taylor stays in thing, I think.
There was like one or two teams, and they wanted Jaylen Waddle. Like, dude, no one's taking Saquon. It's just, they don't need him.
I think there'll be somebody.
Find me a playoff team that could seriously benefit from him.
I also don't think the Giants would do it. I think they care too much about the player and not his output to do it, even though it would make sense. It would make sense. I mean, like you said before, Royce, we're 2 or 3 weeks away from the sell-off beginning and a lot of guys off the street starting to play extensive minutes. Barkley would be a good start of that. Okay. How does this team differ from the Joe Judge Giants?
Oh, I think I said it earlier. I mean, there's having no expectations and still managing to be embarrassing.
The Joe Judge Giants had Dave Gettleman as a GM and just horrible process after horrible process. This has only been 19 games. And they also went to the playoffs last year. Joe Judge never did that.
How much of this is regression versus what they actually were last year?
Ooh, that's a good question. Honestly, 50-50.
I think it's, I would say 50-50. I want to say regression. I would say this is who they are. Last year was just a mirage. There's no regression. It's if you're not consistently good.
How long do you give Joe Shane before you start to wonder about what his big plan is?
3 years. I got to see what happens after this year. Let's finish out this year. Let's see where we are.
What's the plan?
Yeah.
Is MetLife Stadium cursed?
No.
Yes.
There's just a bunch of losers that play in
there. No, it's the ugliest stadium in the league, built by two of the most retarded owners in the league. Sorry to steal Janoris Jenkins' verbiage. And it's built on a swamp. The land may as well be Native American burial grounds. I mean, just an awful stadium all around. 100% cursed.
Weish, user Pruderfilm broke down Brian Daboll maybe calling plays against the Cardinals. Please break down him throwing the tablet next to Jones and walking away. I've analyzed it a million times, but I need to know what you think.
I threw my remote the same exact way.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that wasn't even the most telling Brian Daboll camera pan. It was earlier in the game when it was very obvious that Brian Daboll was telling Jones that he had at least one guy open, or that it was the wrong play. Something went wrong that was Jones' fault. And you could tell that you knew that that's what Brian Daboll was telling Daniel Jones. So just a cacophony of errors all around from the quarterback.
When would you like to see them experiment with Evan Neal at guard if this is a lost season?
They get a new offensive line.
Exactly.
Coach.
Yeah. Not with Bobby Johnson here. Yeah. Sorry.
Bobby Johnson doesn't get to experiment anything.
How many quarterbacks would you realistically take Daniel Jones before right now?
I'm mad.
So what are we talking about? 27, 28? Would you take Zach Wilson before Daniel Jones?
Yes.
I think I've come to the realization that this experience.
At least Zach Wilson, when he has the green light, is willing to sling it.
Would you take Baker Mayfield before Daniel Jones?
In a heartbeat. That's probably the direction they should have gone.
Brock Purdy before Daniel Jones?
At this point, probably. Bro, Baker's like actually good. Like I've been saying this for years.
He's decent.
He's a good quarterback. He was good in Cleveland. But you talk about a guy with coaching turnover. He's had like 7 head coaches since he's been in the league. Like 10 offensive coordinators.
Baker Mayfield and Daniel Jones are the same tier quarterbacks. They're probably going to, Daniel Jones's career path is probably going to be that, right? Baker wins a playoff game in Cleveland, even though that was
that's fair,
much better roster. But again, win a playoff game, then it all falls apart.
Yeah.
I think it's the same. If you're asking me right now, I think that's where Jones is headed. That's a good comparison. Baker Mayfield.
What do practical solutions for the rest of the season look like?
A lot of patience, a lot of tempering expectations.
I don't think he's talking about us. I think he's talking about the team.
Oh, are you not talking about the fans? You're talking about the team? What was the question again? I'm sorry.
What are practical solutions for the team right now?
There are none.
There's no practical.
There are none. No, really.
Do you think this is just a straight up talent deficiency? They are this bad.
No, this is just the fact that these guys are losers. They've been losers their entire career. That's what this is. Last year, they were able. The coach was able to. You know, there was no expectation, and it was just go out there and just play like, you know, nothing is on the line. This year is a lot on the line, and there's expectations, and you know, it's a hungry fan base, and they can't live up to it. They're losers, and that's the part of the reason why their execution is so poor, because they can't handle the pressure.
Does Daniel Jones get benched at some point this season?
Who cares? If he plays bad, if he continues to get sacked 87 times a game, he's going to get hurt. I'm not saying I want him to get hurt. I'm just saying, like, you know, you continue to hit a guy over and over again, he's eventually going to get hurt. But listen, bench Daniel Jones, don't bench Daniel Jones. It really doesn't matter.
No, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, listen, if you think that Daniel Jones is your team's best recourse to tanking, then start Daniel Jones.
And here's
what they say, to build off what you just said, Weiss. What do we always hear about NFL hits? It's like getting into a car crash. Yeah. Daniel Jones is going to be in 15,000 car crashes by the end of the season.
He keeps getting sacked 65 times a game. He's going to get hurt. Here's the thing, though. If you bench him, which I don't think they will, there's no coming back.
I want everyone listening, who's still listening, to hear this. Stress eating cookies right now as we're finalizing the recording. Go ahead, Nick. I'll mute myself for the next question or for Weiss to finish his answer.
Do you think there's a common thread between the last three Giant coaches having decent first seasons and then struggling in their second season?
No.
Everything is different. Pat Shermer wasn't successful in his first season, and a lot of Joe Judge's success was narrative based. Brian Daboll went to the playoffs, won a playoff game, made people believe that Daniel Jones was a $40 million quarterback, made somebody in the Giants front office believe that too. If you define success, then Joe Judge and Pat Shermer didn't have success like Brian Daboll did.
Do you still trust the front office's process based on how the season has started so far and the guys they've brought in this past offseason?
No. Prove it to me. You had the benefit of the doubt. You came in year one. The process that offseason before year one was a good process. You were hamstrung by all of Dave Gettleman's misdoings, and then you just fucked it all up this offseason. You do not have my trust. Show me this offseason that you know what you're doing.
Sort of like it's tough to, you know, put trust into somebody right now, anybody with the Giants. You got to figure out who messed this up? What went wrong? Who miscalculated this? Who's engineering this whole offseason? Why are we 1-3? Why is you just paid a guy all that money? Why is the offensive line not better? Why is the defense the way it is? You know, like I said, there's a lot of blame to go along. And I don't think any fan should be like, well, I trust this guy. There's nobody to trust. Like Ethan said, show me you realize you fucked up. And then, you know, I'll see.
Yep.
We'll see if you can fix it. We'll judge the results when you first acknowledge that you messed up.
Do you think, what is the disconnect between the talent on the field versus the production that isn't there? Because I do agree with that sentiment. This team has more talent than the team last year, and they look infinitely less competitive. I'm not saying
I'll answer for Weiss, because they're fucking losers.
Nick, I don't want to keep repeating myself. When you don't have expectations and you got nothing to lose, you're more loose, you're more, you know, house money, you know, whatever you want to call it. When I put pressure on you and I say, no, you got to go and block Micah Parsons, or you got to stop Dak Prescott, or you got to, you know, tackle Noah Fant, or, you know, like when I put pressure on you to see results, that's when I, you know, pressure breaks pipes. That's Wink Martindale's words, right?
Giants need a plumber. Someone see where Joe Judge is at.
They need a dog. This team lacks real dogs.
Your number one dog can't be Micah McFadden.
Yeah.
He's the only guy showing you something out there. He is showing you more than bare minimum effort. Micah McFadden is the one guy that is out there busting his ass every single play, and he has to because he knows.
Just think about this talented. For a second. Do you think down 21-3, if the Giants had Justin Tuck and OCU Manure and Michael Strahan and Raheem Nunez-Roches made a tackle for a loss and got up and started to dance, you think those three guys would have sat there and took in like,
what? You remember when that happened, when Justin Tuck was in Oakland and those guys were celebrating yes. after they just got a sack and the clock was running down and they were about to get a delay a game and Tuck ran down there, grabbed them and got them yes. back on side? Yeah.
Yes.
The Giants desperately need veteran
leadership. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
That's what this team lacks. It's got a bunch of soft losers.
I think they're very comfortable. I think they thought they were just going to be able to repeat what they did last year, wouldn't have to change a whole lot, and it would come to them pretty easily. And they have looked very flat, and they have gotten punched in the mouth repeatedly. And the only team that...
You know who's got dog in him? I think Brian Daboll's got some dog in him. I think
we're going to find out really quick.
You know, the fact that he shows that emotion, he shows that he's pissed off over a play, I like that. I like that. He's throwing tablets, yelling at players. I like that sometimes. Sometimes that's okay. You know, you can walk a fine line, but sometimes you got to show that emotion. There is nobody that shows emotion like that for the Giants. No player, not on defense, not on offense.
Okay, this is the last one. Is there any world where you could see this season going so badly that there's real questions about the coaching staff, and that includes Daboll?
No. No.
What was it about the coaching staff?
Is there any world where this season goes so badly there are real questions about the longevity of the coaching staff, including
Daboll? Some members, yeah. Not Daboll.
Yeah, not Daboll. Daboll went to the playoffs last year. Like, that bought him time.
Like, even if they go 1-16 and like wholly uncompetitive,
if they go 1-16, Caleb Williams is Brian Daboll's quarterback.
Right, I'm just playing devil's advocate. Yeah, I agree with you.
You know what I'm saying? So,
okay, so of not Caleb Williams, who interests you the most? If you're not,
I haven't even started to watch it. So I
don't like Drake May. I love Michael Penix Jr. But I do like Mike. We'll see.
Lefty scare me.
What about Shedeur Sanders?
I don't think he's going to declare personally.
But I like him though.
I just don't think he's going
to. He's got a little something. I'll give him that. He's got a little bit. He's got a little something.
That's a first-round quarterback right there.
I think so. I think he probably stays one more year because that's what Deion said. I agree. That both his kids are going to stay one more year. But I think he'll have a real chance to be the first quarterback next year if he stays and has another strong season. But it's early. Well, there will be plenty of time for draft talk, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
Too much time. Yeah. All right, let's wrap it up. Talk to you guys next week. I'm not even going to do the outro. That's it. Peace.
Peace.